Welcome to the Gareth Cliff Daily Briefing for Friday the 12th of June. All is well. The biggest sporting event on earth is opening against a backdrop of geopolitical chaos. This could be the most political World Cup ever, but don't let it put you off. There are US-Iran tensions, immigration and visa disputes, ticket pricing scandals, security concerns, and fan protests. It's also the first World Cup where the host nation has been in direct military conflict with a participating nation just before kickoff. Controversially, FIFA, among other things, banned fans from bringing reusable water bottles into the stadium, citing safety concerns. But we all know it's actually about sales. Like all big sporting events, the World Cup has always reflected the world in which it takes place. In 2026, it feels less like a celebration of globalization and more like a reminder that globalization is under review. The football will probably be excellent. The politics might be impossible to ignore. In politics, municipal debt owed to Eskom has now blown past 110 billion rand, with Parliament warning that it threatens the stability of the entire electricity system. Some municipalities could face direct intervention. The uncomfortable reality is that many municipalities in South Africa have become collection agencies that no longer collect. They buy electricity, water, and services that they can't afford, and then they rely on bailouts when the bill arrives. Eventually, somebody pays, and it's usually the people who already paid. We need some kind of national mashonisa. While we're talking about municipalities, you might like to know that in the latest government financial audit reports by the Auditor General, 41, only 41 out of 257 municipalities achieved clean audits. That is 16%. A clean audit signifies a municipality's financial statements are credible, service delivery performance targets are transparently reported, and the council complies with legislation. The fact that 84% of South Africa's local authorities are either bankrupt, corrupt, or defunct means that the majority of our people already don't and can't depend on local government. It's frightening. The president says only the state can enforce immigration law. He's promised action against groups involved in xenophobic violence and continues to push biometric IDs and specialized immigration courts. But regardless of what he says, do people care? The anti-immigration movement has effectively rejected Ramaphosa's intervention and have threatened migrants that they'll no longer be welcome after the 30th of June, which sounds ominous. Political authority is one of those things that you only notice when it starts disappearing. While most governments are arguing about AI regulation, China is doing something else, building. Beijing is reportedly preparing a 2 trillion yuan, which is approximately $295 billion, national AI infrastructure plan involving data centers, chips, telecoms networks, and AI deployment. Huawei is expected to supply much of that ecosystem. Who will build the best model? Well, it may be whoever builds the most infrastructure. China's long-term vision and state planning may give them an advantage, but competition and profit motives in America can just as easily mean they'll stay in the lead. This may be the most deliberate and profound competition in the world right now. Not the World Cup. For 20 years, Europe worried about cheap Chinese manufacturing. Now, Europe is worried about Chinese dominance in electric vehicles, batteries, robotics, semiconductors, and infrastructure. The EU's trade deficit with China reached 360 billion last year in euros. Germany ran a deficit approaching 90 billion euros alone. European policymakers are now openly discussing legislation to reduce dependence on Chinese supply chains. The phrase "second China shock" is now appearing regularly in policy documents. For Europe, the realization that industrial capacity is easier to lose than to rebuild will become an existential question in the next decade. And while we're in Europe, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, is hosting unusual economic talks with China ahead of the G7 summit. The agenda is all about trade deficits, critical minerals, industrial overcapacity, and supply chains. The world's major powers sound less like activists and more like procurement managers. One of the more interesting psychology findings this year is that researchers are increasingly distinguishing between being alone and feeling lonely. A major study found that people who felt lonelier than their actual social circumstances would predict had slightly higher risks of mortality, cardiovascular disease, and chronic illness. Just being alone doesn't seem to be an issue. It's not a numbers problem. It's a perception problem. Modern life has given us more contacts, but fewer companions. You can have 3,000 Instagram followers and still not know who to call when you need to bury a body at 3 a.m. I suppose, again, quality trumps quantity. Australian scientists have built what they claim is the first functioning prototype quantum battery. Unlike normal batteries, which charge more slowly as they get bigger, quantum batteries theoretically become faster as they scale. The prototype was charged using lasers and completed a full charge, store, discharge cycle. It isn't commercially useful yet, but it proves that the concept works. The processes are a bit too complicated for a thorough explanation here, but the CSIRO, the University of Melbourne, and RMIT University explain that it's a light-to-matter interaction rather than a chemical one. Your cell phone won't suddenly start charging in 2 seconds by next year, but your children may think that waiting 30 minutes for a charge was as ridiculous as waiting 3 weeks for a letter. Astronomers have discovered magnetic fields around distant exoplanets for the first time. Magnetic fields are one of the things that protect planets from radiation and make life possible. The search for alien life isn't really about finding little green men. It's about finding planets that are capable of supporting complex biology. Every year, we discover more planets, more solar systems, and more evidence that the universe is far stranger than we imagined. Yet, we still haven't figured out how to stop spam calls. Somewhere out there may be an advanced civilization that's capable of interstellar travel, but if they have call centers, we should probably avoid them. Speaking of which, if you want to talk about the subject that the smartest people in Silicon Valley are discussing, you should know something called the Kardashev scale. No, it's not that brainless family from reality TV with big booties. The Kardashev scale measures how advanced a civilization is based on one thing: how much energy it can control. A Type 1 civilization can harness all the energy available on its planet, controlling weather, oceans, and planetary resources. A Type 2 civilization can harness the energy of an entire star, maybe using a giant structure called a Dyson sphere to capture all the sunlight. A Type 3 civilization can tap the energy of an entire galaxy using billions of stars as power sources. The bad news is we're not even at Type 1 yet. Depending on the estimate, we're about a Type 0.7. We still fight over land and oil, and occasionally we can't keep the Wi-Fi working. Technologists and futurists believe that the story of civilization is really the story of energy. Every major leap forward – fire, steam, electricity, and nuclear power, now AI – is ultimately about finding new ways to harness more energy. Now, thanks to this daily briefing, if you bump into Elon Musk this weekend, you will have something more interesting than the SpaceX IPO to talk to him about. Whether it's China's AI build-out, Australian quantum batteries, or Eskom's debt, it's all about mastering energy. Everything flows from that. The story of civilization isn't really about politics or religion or economics. Those are downstream. The story of civilization is energy. The societies that master it advance. The societies that squander it decline. Join us on Monday for another Daily Briefing.